Dory. Yeah, just get ready. Yeah, it hurts. I feel like I got a hemorrhoid on my shoulder. I was moving something a couple of weeks ago, and I wore a strap on my shoulder to carry something heavy, and I carried it by from here to those trailers over there at Trailer Park, and the package probably weighed 50, 60 pounds, and I didn't realize what I was doing, but I have arthritis in this joint. I didn't know how bad it was. I didn't know I had it, but it was really bad. And so I knocked something loose. And when it took the x-ray, it's not a piece of bone on bone like it's supposed to be with a gap in between. It shows bone and it shows a great little big thing about the size of a quarter that's just a mass, which is arthritis. And so it's pushing the bone down, shoulder down, which is pinching my rotator cuff. And there's bone fragments in there too. So it's kind of, It'll make you want to call for Jesus. I can tell you. You got a bandsaw, we can work it right up. You cut it right off and put it together. That reminds me, I remember Fran Tarkington was on Saturday Night Live. Remember Fran Tarkington? I remember Fran Tarkington. He was an awesome quarterback for the Vikings. Yeah, I thought somebody said something else. Yeah, for the Vikings. And he was playing a coach on the sideline. The guy came in with his arm in his hand. He said, "Coach, I tore my arm off." And he called the guy over and took a pair of took tape and taped his arm back on and said, "Go back out there." Oldie but goldie. Oldie but goldie. Because I was thinking about today. This is part two. And it was just awesome. There's this older guy. You know, as older guys do, they go buy them, you know, fancy cars and stuff. And this guy, he always wanted a Corvette, so he bought a Corvette. So he's taking his Corvette and he's riding down the highway and he don't see anybody. So he floors that thing. I mean, it's flying. So while it's flying, he hadn't noticed a state patrolman coming up behind him. So what he does, instead of stopping, he floors it again thinking I can outrun him. And he floors it and the state patrolman's still following him. So finally he pulls over on the side of the road and the state patrolman said, "Son," he said, "look," he said, you just tried to outrun me, blah, blah, blah. He said, "Well, I tell you what, it's Friday afternoon. My shift ends in about 15 minutes. I don't want to do all this paperwork. If you can give me an excuse I've never heard before, I'll let you go." He said, "Okay, officer." He said, "About 20 years ago, my wife ran off with a state patrolman, and I thought you were trying to bring her back." The officer said, "Have a good day, sir." Got his car and left. Amen. Isn't God good? All the time. All right, get your Bible out. Let's stand for the reading of the word. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. We always dwell on Ephesians chapter 6. We always want to go to the armor. And as it seems like the more I do instead of learning family counseling, Ephesians chapter 5 just keeps popping out strong. And one day I was looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and said, "Wait a minute. Wait, before you talk about the armor, you got to talk about this," because the whole book of Ephesians teaches you spiritual warfare. Okay? So here we go. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's go to verse 16. "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." In other words, buying the time back. Taking it back from the devil. Taking it back from what he's trying to do. "Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart and to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord." Let's stretch your hands this way. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, God, to open our hearts, open our minds. And Father, the biggest thing of all is bathe us in your spirit. Bathe us in your power and in your anointing. We need it in this last day, especially with all this crazy mess that's going on in this world, overseas, and even right here with Charlottesville and all that stuff that's going on. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. I didn't want you to tell you something. Y'all might be wondering about all the stuff with tearing down the statues and stuff. Just remember this. Every time communism took over a country, They tore down the statues. They tore down the monuments. They burnt the books. And that's what they're doing right now. They want to tear down the monuments, tear down the statues, rewrite history. Amen? If they're going to rewrite history, I got some bills and a credit score I'd like to see go up. So just rewrite history all the way. Help me out, too. Help a brother out. Amen. So again, remember, every time communism come into a country or socialism and took it over, that's what they did. They erased history, and they tore up the monuments. They tore everything up. And before they knew it, they were all under the cloud of a one world or one country government, one system. And that's what's happening right now. So when you see this stuff going on, don't think that, well, it's just some people upset because, no, it's a system trying to take over. Okay, think about that, and it'll help you a lot in all of this. Well, this morning, last week, we started on living under the influence. So I'm going to go just a few slides from last week just to bring some continuity, and then we're going to go into this week. Now again, living under the influence. Praise God. Has this thing got a dead battery in it? How you like it? It got so happy with that Southern Gospel while ago, it killed the battery. And it was just doing so fast. Now, how many know something? There's a battle going on. There's a battle that's here. It's in our families. It's at our workplaces. It's everywhere. It's in our communities. It's definitely in our government. And the things that's going on around us is here, and it's hot, and it's hard. It's very hard. And we need, I don't know about you, but I need help. Amen? I need God to help me to understand, to discern what's going on, so I know exactly which side of the fence to stand on when everything's going down. I know where the line is and know where God's line is. I'm not worried about man's line. I'm worried about God's line. See, before Paul talks about the spiritual armor in chapter 6, he talks about the power of the Spirit. And it's a very powerful thing. A lot of people use this for for other means and talk about other ways, but I'm here to tell you, here's what Paul was talking about when he was talking about the power of the Spirit. He said, be not drunk with wine where it's excess or where it'll ruin your life, that'll cause you to miss your calling, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'll read it again in some other versions here. Be not drunk with wine where it's in dissipation, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And I like this version from the Message. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge draughts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises for everything any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. And that's from the Message. So again, that word dispensation means actually you miss what God has got for you to do when you're intoxicated from this world. It goes a little bit further than just wine. Amen? And so here we go. Again, just a few slides to kind of bring us up to date. Let's see here. I believe we're going to have to. There you go. Can somebody go get me two AAA batteries, please? So we ain't got to keep playing with this thing. Charged up batteries, not dead batteries. Isn't God good? Okay, here it is. Here's the difference between born of the Spirit or born again. And when you're born of the Spirit, born again, the Spirit dwells within. It's called the new birth. John 3:5 says, unless you be born again, a man shall not see the kingdom of God. Born of the Spirit. You're born or baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. When you're baptized with the Spirit dwells without. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It prepares you for earth. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And here's the big differences. Watch this. Here we go. Eventually. Come on. There we are. We'll look at that. That ain't pretty. Okay. Here's the difference. Get ready. To be drunk with wine brings false boldness. To be filled with the Spirit brings divine boldness. They said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they knew that they had been with Jesus. Drunk with wine makes you invincible because you're numb. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're invincible because Mark 16 says you're going to take up serpents and no deadly thing that you drink is going to hurt you while you're doing God's work. Drunk with wine, you mutter. People don't want to hear it because you don't even know what you're, it doesn't make sense. But on the day of Pentecost, all the nations under the earth were there. There was Jews and there were Gentiles, and they all heard the word of God in their own language. Also, being drunk with wine, it repels others. But being filled with the Spirit, it attracts others. I don't know about you, but I want to be attracting people. Amen? I want people to be attracted by my smile. I want people to be attracted by what I got to say. I don't want to run people off by talking junk all the time and always be full of stuff. Here we go. It's going to get there eventually. All right. So watch this. Here we go. You got some batteries? Okay. Are they fresh? All right. Praise God. Here we go. Technology is awesome when it works. When it don't work, let's try this now. Let's see here. Oh yeah, look at that. Lightning flash. Ready? Here's where we stopped last week. Seek consciously to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in 18, be not drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion for us to consider. It's a command for us to obey. God knows we're at war. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not so we can shout. It's not so we can get goosebumps in the middle of a service. All that's all things that happen. The Holy Spirit baptism is given so that we can be ready to fight the war that's down here. That's one of the number one questions I get asked at every Emmaus meeting. What's the difference and why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Here's what I tell them. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. The Spirit dwells within. It gets you ready for heaven. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, it gets you ready for the warfare. It gets you ready for earth. So here we go. Now we got some batteries. Let's go ahead and talk now. Look at that. I mean, know what that is. What is that? Somebody? Space shuttle. You know what's so amazing about the space shuttle? The space shuttle itself does not have the energy to get to where it's got to go. It does not have the power. It does not have the authority to get where it's got to go. It's got to be hooked to another source. But this source that it's hooked to cannot be stopped. It's a very powerful source. The only thing that the shuttle has is the energy within it to change directions. That's it. Or to maneuver the way the craft is to come in and out of the atmosphere. Only can it get where it's got to get because it's got strapped to the power. Now, let me ask you a question. Thinking about that. This is how our lives should look for Christ. We're like the space shuttle. I'm hooked to Jesus Christ. I'm hooked to the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit gets me where I got to go. It takes me where I need to be. It takes me into the unknown areas. It gives me the power to get where I got to go. Amen? That's the way our lives should look. We should look like the space shuttle. And I started thinking about the thing. I said, man, God, I hope I'm on the launching pad. And I hope I'm like the space shuttle. Blah, 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 blah. And then the Lord, I'm not kidding. And then the Lord did this. Or is that what your life looked like? About a quart low. I'm in here. Sometimes I feel like you're about a quart low. I'm not full of the Holy Spirit. I'm about a quart low of the oil. I'm needing some help. You know, matter of fact, let me just ask this question. Does this more accurately describe our lives? The space shuttle or dipstick? One more time. The space shuttle or a dipstick? Amen? So yeah, that was pretty cool. Amen. So here we go. Let's get back to this. And then we're gonna not take a long time today. The Christian who neglects the Holy Spirit is like a lamp that's not plugged in. Woo! I can't say that loud enough. We could go home after this. Don't get up yet. Some of y'all start grabbing your Bible. Don't do that. All right, here we go. The Christian who neglects the Holy Spirit is like a lamp that is not that is not plugged in. So again, seek to be consciously filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a suggestion. Let me explain this to you. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. Without the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are unable to live a life to the fullest that God has for us. Because every last one of us, we're not to imitate each other. We're to imitate Christ. And I can guarantee you, there's times where I cannot imitate Him. Come on now. There's times where I cannot do this. There's times where I don't have the love. There's times where I don't have the patience. There's times where the guy keeps doing it over and over and over again and asking for forgiveness. And I want to say, how many times is this going to happen before one of us gets hurt? See, it's impossible to live the Christian life on our own. We have to be filled with a power. We're like a space shuttle. We have to be filled with a power that is stronger than we are, that is bigger than us. It is impossible to live this life on our own. That's the end of the story. It's impossible. We have to have God's Spirit indwelling us. And then just to go ahead and make it a little bit clearer, watch this. The Bible says the deep calleth unto the deep. In other words, life, look, and here's Paul saying the same way the New Testament version, life is hard. Life is deep. I have, when I first started pastoring, if I could take the problems that people come to me with when I first started pastoring 30 years ago and put it now, I would feel like I was at a cakewalk. Some of the stuff people were losing their mind over and getting all upset over 30 years ago now is nothing. The problems we face today, who would have imagined 30 years ago you would face some of the problems that you face today? 30 years ago, who would have thought that Charlottesville would be tearing down the monuments? Who 30 years ago would have think that Washington, they'd be marching for all kinds of different kinds of rights? Who would have thought about that? Who would have thought about 30 years ago that Iran and Iraq would be trying, there would be this mighty power there, and communism, not, communism was the big thing. Communism is not the big thing anymore. The big thing is terrorism. Who would have thought about this 30 years ago? Think about what ours. Look, they have undercover cops that look like teenagers in our schools because their drugs are running rampant in our school. Who would have thought about that? I remember, because of the statutes of limitations, I can tell this. I remember over in Pamlico County High School, how many remember the middle school has two stories? My daddy worked in the meat market. He had these great little big, long, big red rubber bands. Those things were awesome. People used to come to me and say, can you get your daddy to get me some of those rubber bands? I remember taking those things. This is the mean stuff back then. I would take that thing and get me a sucker stick and bend it over like that, and I'd stand up on top and hit people on the head when they walked by. Statutes of limitations. I can't get in trouble for it now. I remember walking in one day. They were in class. I took a milk carton, stuck it in there. Everybody's reading. I just walk in that class, and I go, bam! Next thing I know, I'm writing 300 times, I, David Linton, will not come into Miss Potter's reading class and disrupt it anymore by putting a milk carton on the ground and stomping it with my big foot. You know what? Teachers would love to have that problem now. When my wife started years ago, when Beverly started teaching, she was teaching 5th and 6th graders, and this was years ago. Wow, this had to be 17, 18, 20 years ago. The problem were little kids were verbally raping, or little boys were verbally raping this little girl. And they were doing nothing about it. Can you imagine? I couldn't even think about this thing. The very first day she went to class, the guy came up, one of the sixth graders came up and slapped her in the chest. And one threw a desk at her. I can't even imagine what it is now. Some of the stuff that I see going on, and some of the stuff I hear teachers talk about. You see, who doesn't need the Holy Spirit? We all need the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help us get through all of this junk. The problems, the deep stuff that's happening now is calling out. We need to get deep. We need to get strong. We need to get bold. We need to get show the world that we do matter and we can make a difference. The deep is calling for the deep. So now, come on there, buddy. Look at this. You need to be full of the Spirit. So here it is. I'm going to break it down into the Greek for you. Watch this. Can I break it down for a minute? Keep being filled with the Spirit. The command is a present tense, okay? It's a present tense, which means a continuous action verb. So that means two things. Watch this. This is Paul talking. He says, first, this is a command to obey every moment of every day. Did you know being filled with the Spirit will not only help you fight the battle in this world, but it'll also help you be a better daddy. It'll help you be a better mama. It'll help you be a better son. It'll help you be a better daughter. It's a command to be obeyed every moment of every day. We cannot afford to be living without the Spirit's influence in our life. Number two, it's a command to obey in ever-increasing measure. It cannot be overemphasized. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to take hold of us. You know, I like the way the Lord will talk to you. Walking in the supermarket, and all of a sudden the Lord will say, go talk to that person. Or go ask that person, are they having a hard time? Go tell this person you're praying for them. I've seen it. They just start crying right there in Walmart, start crying right there in Food Line. And they go, how'd you know? You don't even know me. And I go, I don't know you, but the Holy Spirit knows you. And he sent somebody to let you know that everything's going to be all right. We need the power of God in our life more than ever. Amen? So, seek to be continuously filled. And next, seek to be conspicuously filled. What am I talking about? People need to look at us and see God's hand in our life. Amen? Paul, listen, think about these analogies that Paul is using. People notice the difference when someone's drunk. You know it. We were living in Benson, and we stopped over at, it was Mule Day, and we were stopping at Smithfield Chicken and Barbecue to pick up something because the next day we were going to be going to King's Dominion with the Church of God. And so we stopped to get some stuff from Smithfield Chicken and Barbecue, and a cowboy rode up on his horse through the drive-through window. Daniel and I had gotten out of the truck. I'm not sure if DC was there or not. I know Daniel was there because the guy, after he gets his order, he comes over and almost falls off his horse, drops his hat. I noticed that he was very drunk. He looked over and Daniel picked up his hat and gave it back to him. And the man said, you want a ride? I said, Daniel, get back in the car, son. Now, do not ride off with that guy. You can tell when somebody's drunk. Is it difficult for others to tell you've been drinking the living water? Think about it. Paul's using a very powerful analogy here. Be not drunk with wine, where it's excess, where you miss what you're trying to do, but instead be filled with the Spirit. With that analogy, can people look at you and tell? And I'm not talking about because you walk around. You know, I remember one time I was preaching about being bold, and there was this couple that, bless their hearts, sometimes they didn't act like they were, you know, like the cheese was sliding off their cracker. And I went that afternoon, I had to stop at a shoe store. And that's when we had the mall in Washington. The shoe store was right outside of Roses. I go in the shoe store, and they see me and say, hey, Brother Linton. Said, we like that sermon today. We need to be bold and let people know that we're Christians. And so they got behind me this loud and went, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And I said, calm it down a little bit. I said, you want to be bold, but you want to be able to don't repel people. You want to draw them. I said, okay. And so I walked away, and I thought they were walking this way. And they followed behind me in Roses going, look what the Lord has done. And I said, okay, look, calm it down a little bit. It'll be all right. Be bold, but don't draw attention to yourself. Let them see God in you. And I said, okay. And so I walked the other way. And they come behind me going, look what the Lord has done. So I got in my car and said, look what I have done. I'm leaving the store and run. If you are filled with the Spirit, you don't have to advertise because people will see it. They see it in your life. They see the way you act. They see the boldness that you've got. They see the things that you do and that you're not afraid of what's coming your way. They ought to be a noticeable difference in our lives from God's Spirit when it's in control. Amen? People ought to see it. They ought to sense it. They ought to be able to get around you and go, there's something different about them. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. I remember before I got saved, I was working at Procter & Gamble, and there was this guy named Bud. He'd come in after us. And we were getting ready to get off. He would come in 30 minutes to an hour early for the pass down, and he'd walk around through the plant doing the pass down. And I would look at him, and before I ever knew him, before I ever knew his name, before I ever gave the first hello to this guy, there was something about this man. He just looked different. He acted different. I'm not talking about the way he was dressed, because he dressed like everybody else. I'm not talking about the way he walked. He walked like everybody else. But there was something about him. And when he come by, I felt something. And I started saying to myself, I don't know what that man's got. But whatever it is, I want some of it. And I watched him for months, and finally, I got the boldness up to talk to him. And when I got talking to him, I found out he was a Christian. And as I started talking to him even more, it was so powerful, the life that he lived. And he weren't out there preaching the gospel. He was doing his work. But the Spirit was on him so strong that it drew people to them, to him. So now, watch this. Look, when you're filled with the Spirit, watch this. Here, watch this now. It impacts. Here's the impact. First, it impacts your relationship with God. Let me read this. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now I'm singing to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm thanking God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now it's affecting how I am with others. Wow. It's a powerful thing. You don't have to walk around casting out demons and walk around wearing a cape or walking around and trying to find a pulpit somewhere so you can do something dynamic. Living the life full of the Spirit will make a difference in your life to the point that people want what you've got. Amen. So now, here we go. Get ready. I told you I'm not going to keep you long today. I know you don't believe it. The Bible says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Watch this. When your soul is on fire for God, watch this. You stand out. You know why you stand out? Because you love with a love that glows. When we go to the Pitt Detention Center, those guys are, look, it's amazing. Some of the biggest guys with some of the baddest raps with some of the longest terms, they'll tell us, and y'all guys know it, they tell us, man, I love you, man. Thank you for coming. It's so awesome. We love you, dude. We love you. And some of the guys that come in are pretty mean. There was one guy for a long time there. One day we got up there and he said, get your Bible out. So I got my Bible out. He said, turn to Isaiah something. So I turned to Isaiah something. He said, now read it. And I read it. He says, watch this. Now kneel before me. I said, dude, I don't know who you're talking to. I said, they ain't going to happen today. I said, matter of fact, it'll never happen. I said, I know the one person, that's Jesus Christ, and you ain't him. And so from that time on, whenever we got to tell the guys, let me go talk to him. And he was doing some wild mess and talking some crazy mess. But I watched God start changing him because he saw the love of my heart. He saw me reaching out to him. And you know what? One day I went by, and I didn't wake him up. And when I went walking out, was getting ready to walk out, he hollered, hey, preacher! And I said, what? And I came back to him and he said, I just want you to know God has affected me. God has touched me. And he says, don't you ever go by without talking to me again. He says, you're my spiritual daddy. 6 months of fighting spiritual warfare with this guy. And all of a sudden, he's telling me I'm his spiritual daddy. You see, again, he didn't see me. He saw the Spirit in me. In love with a love that glows. Serve with a faith that kindles. You see people, you know, when you start seeing people that's got the Holy Spirit on their lives and they start serving God, you want to help them out. You want to do what they're doing. You don't mind because now you've got the Spirit leading you and guiding you and directing you. Serve with a devotion that consumes. Rejoice with a joy that radiates. I like what Chadwick said. He said, love is perfected in the fire of God. So now, I said, well, Paul, if you're going to tell us to be filled with the Spirit continuously every minute of the day, then tell us how. And so I began reading the chapter over and over and over again. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me. Show me so simple, because if Paul's talking this, he's being very simplistic. He's telling us that we need the Spirit in our lives. So watch this. This is so awesome. Look at there. God wants us so full that one drop will overflow us. One drop. Matter of fact, the question is, how blessed are you? Are you so blessed by God that your saucer is overflowing? Not your cup, your saucer. Because the cup's already overflowing. Now my saucer's blessed. So watch this. Getting ready to close. How do you be continuously filled with the Spirit? Get ready. It's so simple. Matter of fact, it's so simple we miss it. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, making music to the Lord in your hearts and giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Here it is. Watch this. How do I get filled with the Spirit? If I got to be running and jumping and running the aisles every Sunday to be continuously filled with the Spirit? No. Let's bring it down. Make it right. Make it wholesome. Make it so you can do this tomorrow, and it's going to make a difference when you get to work. Make a difference when you get to your family. Make you a better daddy. Make you a better mama. Make you a better coworker. Make you a better a supervisor. Make you just a better person. How do I do this? When everything's falling to pieces around me, how can I be filled continuously with the Spirit? Here it is. So simple. First, let me tell you. It all has to do with your attitude and your position. Think about it. If you're going to be continuously filled with the Spirit, it's all in your attitude and your position. And here's three verses that tell us all about it. The first says that we are to sing hymns and spiritual songs among ourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Our attitude has to be one of worship. We're sitting up here today and we were playing different songs, and we even thought about some secular songs that we could change the words and make them into a beautiful, beautiful song. And so they were going back and forth and playing, and we were just having this good old time. But you know what? I found out when I'm going through life, when I'm even working, if I can worship, if I can find a way to sing hymns, spiritual songs to Him, no matter what I'm going through. I remember sitting there at a funeral home, my mama in a casket. I remember somebody coming up to me and they said, "I know your heart's breaking." I said, "It's breaking like never before." They said, "Well, how can you be glowing?" I said, "Excuse me?" They said, "How?" They said, "You are radiating. You are glowing. How can you do this? I know you're hurting." I said, "I'm hurting like you wouldn't believe." They said, "But how are you glowing?" I said, "Because the whole time I'm standing here, from the first time I saw her in that coffin until now, when I walked to see Mama in the coffin, I started singing to God. And I sang to God all the way to that coffin. Once I got in that coffin, I leaned over and I kissed my mama. And I said, I just kept singing. And I kept thanking God that she was in His hands now." Wow. You see, when you have an attitude of worship, I'm not just talking about praise God. Watch this. If I say right now, everybody praise God, somebody might do this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. No. And you ain't got to follow behind somebody in the shoe store going, "Look what the Lord has done." Singing, worship, praising Almighty God. When you praise Him, watch this. When you have an attitude of worship, then you keep your heart open. Your heart's open to God. It's like having an antenna up. You know, a lot of people will say, "Well, I don't hear Him." Well, you know what? God ain't talking to me. Don't sit there with your Bible closed and say God ain't talking to you. God's not talking to me. I reckon not. Every time I read this, it's God talking to me. He doesn't have to be, I'll use an audible voice. He can talk to me right through this word. So now, when you have an attitude of worship, it's an attitude, not just an act. An act of worship, it's an attitude of worship, and that's how I've learned to train myself. We got to train ourselves to have an attitude of worship. When you do this, you keep yourself in a position to hear Him. I can't hear Him. Try worshiping. The Bible says He inhabits the worship of His children's praise. He inhabits their worship. He inhabits our worship. The Chinese were trying to translate that verse, and they didn't know exactly. He inhabits our praises. And so what they did was, the only thing they could use to translate it was, when we worship God, we build a throne upon which He sits. Wow. If you can learn to worship Him. I remember talking with this one guy that called me in and said, "You got to counsel with this guy. He's on suicide watch." And so I come to counsel this guy on suicide watch. They put him in the interrogation room. I sat with him for maybe an hour. And when we walked out of there, I told him, I said, listen, I can't, you might not can change what's going to happen on the outside, but you can change what's going to happen on the inside. You were raised in this stuff. You were raised with God. What you need to do is you need to learn how to give God glory. And I've seen him off and on now for 6 months. And every time I see him, instead of being down and out and on the suicide watch, now when I see him, as soon as I get to him, he's raising his hand and said, Pastor, it's awesome. God is awesome. He's still up for murder. But guess what? Now it's like this. Things have changed. The outlook hadn't changed, but the inlook has. Amen? So an attitude of worship keeps your heart open, keeps you in a position to hear from him. Number two, an attitude of thanksgiving. It says, give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give God thanks for everything. Thessalonians says, in all things, give God thanks. This is his will. Doesn't mean everything that happens to you is his will, but it means it's his will for you to thank him no matter what you're going through. There's been some pretty rough things, and I think about that. Pretty rough things. Just Friday, I buried one of my friends that I went to high school with. This makes about the third high school or fourth high school friend that I have buried lately. These guys are falling out, and I mean, they're my age. And it's making me start to think a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? When I'm burying not just people my age, but people I went to school with, people I chummed around with, people I carried on with. And so again, as I was walking to the graveyard, and Satan started speaking all kinds of junk to me. Well, you know, all your friends are dying. You know, where does that leave you? This guy's sister said, why do you have to die so young? And the Lord spoke to me and said, tell her about you and him riding on the railroad track one night. So I remember back before, when I was about 18, 19 years old, I was with him, and we were riding down at Honey Pot in Washington Park, and there was a place where there was a train cross, and there was no lights. There was nothing there at the time, nothing. And we come up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were flying, trying to get home, and we're flying the back row so we could go ahead and fly. And we go back there, and he sees the train, and I don't. And he slams on brakes. And we stop about that far from the train. We get out of the car, and I'm going, and I wanted to reach out and touch that train and say, you tried. So I told his sister, I said, don't look at it as he died at 58 young. Look at it as he's had 30 years of grace, because he should have been dead by now. And as I walked to the graveyard, I started thanking God. I said, Lord, thank you for 30 years of grace. Thank you for 30 years of grace. Thank you for 30 years of grace. You see, when you live with a thanksgiving in your heart, now that keeps your head open. Satan can't throw things at you like he always does and stick, because now your head's open. And when your head's open, because I'm worshiping God and I'm thanking God. But not only am I doing that, my heart's open, my head's open, I'm in a position to see him. Now, do you get where this is going? This is how you stay filled with the Spirit. You got to have a heart of worship. You got to have a heart of thanksgiving, not just a heart, but an attitude of worship and thanksgiving. And then with your heart open and your head open, you can hear from him, you can see him, and God can do things with you that he could not do if you did not have these attitudes. And then the third thing, and then I'm getting ready to close. Ready? An act of submission. Who's shouting back there? Which one is it? Is it Liam? Shout, buddy. Who? Felicity? Shout, Felicity. Go ahead and shout. Wake them all up. That's the sound. Look, that's the sound of life in the church. Amen? That's the sound of life. Praise God. That's an awesome sound. I love it. Okay. So here we go. An attitude of submission. Look, you say, well, I can worship and I can thank God. Yeah, but submission? Watch this. All we think about is the next verse says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. But the very first verse says, be submissive to one another. Wow. So now watch this. Look, when we are submissive to one another, watch this. First, we keep our heart open. We keep our head open. And then we keep our ego out of it. Y'all didn't hear that. You know, God could do a whole lot more for us if we keep our egos out of it. We would get along a whole lot better with people if we could keep our egos out of it. Well, I got hurt, or I got this, and because of that, that's the way I am, and they got to understand that. No! Learn to keep my heart open, my head open, and keep my ego out of it. When you keep your ego out of it, watch this, it keeps you in a position to let go and let God. Well, if you only knew how I got hurt, let me tell you something. Anybody here has never been hurt, raise your hand. Okay, anybody here ever been hurt, raise your hand. Y'all look around. Everybody's hands up. So watch. I love this. This is so awesome. Y'all get ready to come play something. Watch this. As a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Let me just tell this little story here, and we're going to come up and pray. This is so awesome. As the heart pants for the water, the heart is a little bitty deer. He's a little bitty fella. And the heart, because he's a little bitty fella, has a lot of predators. And because he has a lot of predators, he's being chased a lot. But there's one way he protects himself. When the heart's being chased, he pants for the water. He longs for the water. He wants to get to the water. Because once that little bitty heart, that little deer, gets to the water with the prey chasing him, he gets in the water. So when he gets in the water, first off, his scent's gone. But that's not enough. Secondly, the heart will submerge himself in the water. And the only thing left is his little bitty nose sticking out of the water. That's it. So when the predator comes, he's lost his scent. But not only has he lost his scent, he's lost sight of him because all he sees is the water around him. And David says, so my soul pants for you, O God. When you're under attack, when the enemy's coming at you, you're full of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Just like that heart that gets in the water and all that you see is its nose, just a little bitty nose, because he's totally submerged in the power of that water. And all the enemy can see is that water. When you're like this and you've got submerged in God, all the enemy sees is the power of God in your life, and he'll leave you alone. God, help us like that little heart. Help us pant for your Spirit. Because when that Spirit's on you, something amazing happens. My wife, not long ago, she said, honey, she looked at me and she said, I love you, dear. I said, I love you too. She said, I just want to let you know something. I said, what? She said, it's only by the grace of God you're not dead. And I said, why? She said, because I just heard what you just told that person. And I said, well, I said, Patrick says the same thing. All the guys from prison say the same thing. And she says, no, I mean it. I said, they mean it too. She said, I hear you say some of the loudest stuff to people. And she says, they just look at you and go, praise God or thank you or something as you walk off and they haven't killed you. And I told her, I said, as the heart pants for the water, my soul pants for God. And I said, all they see. Of course, this is y'all might want to make fun of this. All they see is my nose. That's a big target. God is awesome. God is awesome. God, I need your Spirit every hour, every minute, every day. I don't just need it for spiritual warfare when it comes to fighting the enemy around or in the church. I need it to be a better daddy. I need it to be a better husband. I need it to be a better pastor. I need it to counsel people. I need that Spirit of understanding. I need you, God, on me every minute of every day. There's not a minute I don't need you, God. Every place, every time, I need you. How many would say that? Every minute of every day, I need you, God. Everybody stand. We confuse it. We look for the feeling. Let me tell you something. There's feeling with it, and feeling comes with it. But that's not why we're looking for the feeling. We're looking for the filling. Not the F-E-E-L-I-N-G. We're looking for the F-I-L-L-I-N-G, the filling. That's where the power is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. If you would say, Pastor, my eyes have been opened, and I know that I need a closer walk with Him. And I know that I need Him 24/7 to fill me with His Spirit. And I know that I need an attitude of worship and an attitude of thanksgiving. And I know I need to keep my ego in check. If you'd say that when nobody's looking around, if you raise that hand, I just want to pray with you. Would you raise that hand? God, I need that. God, I need more of You. I need more of You. I need more of You. I need it every day, every hour. Lord, touch them right now. Bless them, Lord. Lift them up. Strengthen them. Help them to see this, to know that it will make them better in everything they do. I thank You for that, Lord. Now, if you're here this morning and you have any need whatsoever, we got plenty of time. If you're here this morning and you need a touch from God for any reason, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Come up and pray. For whatever you need from God, come and pray. Thank You, Lord. Come and pray. Won't you come and pray? Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Touch my brother's back. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Tomorrow. Okay. Okay. Glory. God, I love You. I praise Your name. I need Your power. I need Your anointing. I need You, God. I need You, God, to touch me. I need You, God, to fill me. I need You, God, to help me live with an attitude of worship, an attitude of thanksgiving. Help me, Lord, to keep my ego out of it. Lord, help me, Lord, to be submissive, Lord. I thank You, Father. I thank You, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I love You and I praise Your name. One of the most powerful things I saw several years ago, Linda had a flat tire right in front of Beaufort Community College. She called me and said, "Honey, I got a flat tire. I need some help." I said, "I'll be right there." While I was on the way, a state patrolman come by and saw her there with a flat tire. I pulled up at the about 30 seconds after he did. He'd already got the stuff out of his trunk. As I'm walking to the car, I said, "That's okay, officer, I'll change it." He said, "No, sir, if you don't mind, I got this." And as I'm looking at him change, I happen to notice his arm. He had 3 up and 3 down. And I said, "You know what? I almost come to tears right there in front of Beaufort Community College when I saw three up and three down, and he telling me, sir, I got this. You go, just make sure she's safe. Wow. That's submission. That's submission. It's humility in action. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Trust Him. God's going to do something special. Amen. Tuesday nights, we're talking about communication. Come on out here. It's some awesome stuff. Every Tuesday night's awesome. But it's communication. We have to know how to talk to each other if we're going to help somebody. If you can't talk to them, you can't help them. You got to be able to talk to them. Amen? God's awesome. Brother Steve?
Father God, we just praise you and love you, Lord. And we thank you for being there every moment of our lives. Lord, we praise you for the hard times. When you get us out of every situation we get into. And Lord, as we go from this place, Lord, we pray that you just bless us even more and bring us back safely to the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.